Still finding your places, I understand that, but I'm going to have a lot of points in tonight's lesson, and if you'd like to take notes, I had the office print up a few pieces of paper, so if you'd like to have a piece, you don't have something with you to take notes on, and you'd like it, if you'd raise your hand, the ushers have some paper to hand out to you. And as they're doing that, you would turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 20. I don't really have a text for the lesson. It really is a lesson. It's not a sermon or anything like that. But I want to just, the lesson is in a context, and it's a biblical context. So I'm going to look at a couple verses and then go into a lot of just what I think are practical points that should be helpful. The title of my lesson is Getting to Know Them. Getting to Know Them. For quite a few times in the last year, preachers gotten up here and talked about, told the young men they need to ask a girl out for a date. Otherwise, you can't just look around forever and decide she's the one and never get to know her. So he said things like, go to the snack shop, take her to a basketball game or something like that. And I've been thinking about it quite a bit. It's for you. Somebody. It's their hearing aid or something. I've been thinking about this and looked back at a list of ideas that I'd seen in the past, all the way back to even when we were in college. And I want to put together a lesson on getting to know them. What happens between just looking around, saying, oh, she looks like a good girl, or dads are saying, well, I think he's a decent guy for my daughter. What happens between that and actually saying, all right, well, anyway, that and engagement or picking out a girl and saying, I want to marry her, or I think I want to marry her. So in the context of this, we can see in a couple places. In the context is, this is all in the context of what I want to call Christian dating. We fumble with the right word. Christian, trying to find somebody that you're going to live the rest of your life with. That's kind of too long, so dating is easier. Dating is a shorter word to use. Christian courting, Christian finding the right one, Christian finding a life's partner, Christian whatever it is. We're in the context of that. And the Bible teaches over and over and over again. The Bible assumes a certain pattern in this. And we'll see it right here in Luke chapter 20, verse 34. And we see it again in verse 35. Luke 20, verse 34. Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage. Okay? Some marry and some are given in marriage. In the next verse, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. It's not clear there which ones marry and which are given in marriage. But if you think about it, it should be pretty clear biblically who goes and gets married and who is given in marriage. In fact, in the marriage ceremony, the preacher says, who giveth this woman to be married to this man? Sons go and get married. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:22, whoso findeth, he's going, finding, whoso findeth a wife, obtaineth favor from the Lord, okay, or something like that. Okay, but the idea is that sons go. Sons go to find a wife. Daughters stay home, and their dads give them to the right man that comes along. So what do we do as parents? There's young men and young ladies here that should be interested in this lesson. Should be parents that are very interested in this lesson. As a father, or as the parents, primarily father, you're the responsible father of a boy. You need to prepare your son to go find a wife. You don't need to find the wife for him. You need to prepare him to go find a wife. You need to teach him what to look for in a woman and how to go about honorably finding a wife. And as a parent, primarily father of a daughter, you need to know what to look for your daughter. So sons' parents prepare them. Daughters' parents protect them. They protect their daughter from all those foolish men that want your precious daughter. And but in the end, the daughter has the final say. She's the one that has to say, yeah, I'll marry you. If you think of the story of Abraham sending Eliezer off to find a wife for Isaac, Eliezer found this woman, beautiful woman, the right one from the right family. Everything was right about her, and it seems I'm not being facetious, but there was a lot more thought than just happening upon a woman involved in it. Not as much as some try to say there was in there, but a lot more than just what it appears on the surface. And Eliezer said, it's time to go. Her father and her brother said, let her stay for 10 days or whatever. And he said, no, we need to go. And they came to her in Genesis 24:58. The final say was up to the girl, up to herself. She said, I'm going to get there quickly. Genesis 24, 58. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? That wasn't her husband, but he was there to bring her to her husband. Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. It was up to her in the end. Okay, now fathers, you protect your daughter up until that point. But at the same time, you can't decide you can't make the final decision whether that guy is the man for your daughter. So all of that's the context that we're speaking about this in. Then I want us to understand that, and I might be using the wrong word, but I picked a word that I think will give you the idea. There are four dimensions to humankind. The Bible says that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And there in those verses, four dimensions of mankind. There's a spiritual dimension, there's an intellectual dimension, there's a physical dimension, and a social dimension. He grew in wisdom, intellectually, and stature, physically, and in favor with God, spiritually, and with man, socially. So, with these four dimensions of humankind, we need to realize some things about that. I already mentioned preacher saying, how can you get to know someone without talking to them? You can't. Sit in the snack shop or go to the basketball game. And I say, yes, 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 do all that. But get to know them in every dimension. Think about this. You could become comfortable around them, that person, in a physical sense. Even with keeping all the strict rules that we have, staying a foot away from each other or whatever, just being sitting at the snack shop table with that person, you're around them physically. You can develop a physical attraction to somebody just by being around them, and with no improprieties. And then after a while, if you're getting to know them, and that's the only way you're getting to know them, you're hanging around them. After a while, you could be quite involved. And I say quite involved physically, still no improprieties. Quite involved when you realize that they're not the spiritual person you're looking for. So then, it's hard for you to say, well, I got to get away from him. Now, you ought to, but it makes it hard. You could find out that they're quite a social person. You like their company. They talk well. They like their personality. But then find out that they don't have the intellectual capacity to be your mate. That sounds real intellectual, doesn't it? But the idea is somebody could be fun to be around. Some guy could be fun to be around, but if his wife is brilliant and he's not, they're going to have a hard time in their marriage. Now, it might be the right thing, but that's the truth. It's something to consider. You could do a spiritual, quote, background check on somebody. This would come around from the other side. You never hang around them at all. You have your spies out. You send questionnaire to their parents and to their friends and all of this stuff. You do a spiritual background check on them and be comfortable with their ability to lead spiritually or the other way around. But then find out you have no physical attraction to them. And so you've done this all. You say, oh, they're the one. And then you start actually being around them and say, this guy's ugly. Well, I have no physical attraction to him at all. You say, well, that doesn't matter. Well, let's not lie to ourselves, folks. But marriage is physical. If you're married, you know that. It's very physical. And courtship or dating is attempted marriage. It is. Its goal is marriage. So we don't lie. Christians don't, we don't lie about the physical, sexual nature of dating. We just realize that it has boundaries that can't be gone into until marriage comes along. But if we ignore that fact, we're foolish. Very foolish. So just because you've done a spiritual background check on somebody doesn't mean that they're the one. I think you get the point. In all these areas, all of them have to be explored, and that means deeper than just surface facts at the same time. Because the sooner you find out it won't work, the better. And let me say that. Let me say this. Just because you've done your homework and you've said, I think she's the one, I like this person, doesn't mean that you have to end up marrying that person. Okay? Now, we don't like the idea of, quote, dating around, getting involved with one person for 3 months and getting involved with another person for 3 months and another person for 3 months. That's not wise. But if you, and I'm not, this is not, but if you follow some of the things I'm going to talk about tonight, you'll soon enough, sooner than hanging around with somebody for 3 months, sooner than later, you'll find out, well, this isn't the person for me. Or you'll find out, this isn't the man for my daughter. And so, the sooner you find out it won't work, the better. Now, how does that happen? I'm going to just give an illustration quickly and then go into some questions and ideas. Preacher says, go to the snack shop or go to a basketball game. And so on the very first day, some guy is sitting there saying, on the very first date, I need to find out about her spirituality. How can I do? Isn't that kind of, I mean, that's kind of bold, or that's kind of, I don't feel comfortable with that. And you might not. But let's think a little bit. You're sitting there, and you might not have to do this on the first date. First date, you might be so scared you can't even do anything for 15 minutes, and you finally say, I hope you enjoy that milkshake, and leave. But on the second date, and here again, sooner, much, much, much sooner than I think normally happens, and sooner than later, you need to explore the other person's spirituality. And this is not just something for guys to worry about. A girl's father should be very interested in this, and it should be a topic of conversation between the guy and her father. And the girl herself needs to be interested in this too. So you're on your second date, and this is girl and guy area, not girl and guy's father on their second date. But and they're on their second date, let's say. What do you do? Here in this context, we have so many spiritual things that happen to both people that it should be very easy to talk about spiritual things. Man, guy, you don't have to bring your Bible out and give her a word study. You don't. In fact, don't. Okay? But you both heard the sermon right before you went to the snack shop. You did. And it's not gossip, and it's not wrong to say, I enjoyed that sermon. Now, if all you say is, I enjoyed that sermon, and the other guy says, yeah, that was good, I like it whenever Pastor Whitaker preaches, and then you go on to talk about nothing else, you haven't explored anything. You've just done surface facts. Okay? But if you're not all deeply in love, you don't have to wait till you're deeply in love to say, I enjoyed that sermon. You know, when he said this, I never thought of it that way before. And that's all it has to be. And young man, you go that far, and the girl sits there and says, yeah. And that's all she says. After a couple times of that, you might think, does she have a spiritual bone in her body? Because if you lead that way, she should probably respond in some way. More than just, yeah. Right? Okay. So same way, girls. I mean, it's much more important for the father or for the girl to know that this man that she's interested in is going to be able to lead her spiritually for the rest of her life. So you might say, that was an interesting sermon. What did you think about when he said, whatever? Right? And in the same way, all the issues that we talk about that you might come up need to be explored, not just talked about. You say, where do you work? Oh, I work here. And then nothing else is said about it? Well, that's just facts. Do you like that kind of work? Is it hard work? Is that the type of thing that you think you're going to do for the rest of your life? Those are the types of questions that I mean by saying explore it. Now, I have lists here for each. Fathers and daughters together, and then sons. And this is so you can all study and have the right answer for the quizzing that will happen just over there afterward in the snack shop. All right. But I have 30 questions that a daughter and her parents, primarily her father, would want to know the answers to. And I have 20 that a son going out to find a wife. So we have 50 points in 25 minutes. So I'm going to be like Dr. Waite and do my 30 seconds. These are questions that a daughter and a parent, primarily father, will want to know the answers to. Now, they should not be answered in a checklist fashion. This is not like the father says, okay, you're interested in my daughter? Come here. Check it off. But it would be something you'd want to review and know the answers to over a period of time. Some of them you'd want to know before you even let the guy talk to your daughter, and some of them you could find out afterward, after things develop. But before you ever say yes, you can ask her for her hand in marriage. It's just a list of ideas to get you started in thinking. First, tell me about your spiritual background. What was your church upbringing like? Now, if they grew up here and you grew up here, you know that. So it might not be, some of these might not be questions you have to ask, but some you might have to ask. When were you saved? If a person has a hard time telling you about when they were saved, maybe they're not saved. At what point did your spiritual experience become real to you? In a church like ours, children grow up saved. I don't mean that they're just saved but they grow up saved. They hardly remember the time when they were saved. They've always been in church and they've always done church. But when did their spiritual experience become real to them? When did it start to affect them individually? Have you ever had a period of spiritual rebellion? And that was just all that's just one question. I have 29 more. When was the last time you read through the entire Bible or the New Testament? You might want to know that. How about this? Describe your parents' marriage for me. Describe your parents' marriage for me. What were the most valuable lessons you learned from your parents? Some of them might not have had good, the parents' marriage might not have been good. Let's say it was divorce or the severe marriage problems. What did you learn? What did you learn from those problems? Have you learned what not to do? Here's another one. Describe your family life growing up. When you were growing up, what was family life like? What was family altar like? What was the routine? Was there a routine around the house? How did you do work around the house? Or what was your family's view toward work? Did you go get a job at Burger King, or did you mow grass, or what? Work. Just what was family? What was your family's life? What was family life growing up? This is questions that a father is asking of some interested young man, or a girl is wanting to know about an interested young man. What's your relationship like with your dad? If he says good and stops, That's surface level. How about with your mom? How about this? If I were given a fly on the wall glimpse of a typical conversation that you might have with your mom, would you agree that this will likely be the way you'll be treating my daughter 10 years from now? Why or why not? Why wouldn't you treat your wife in 10 years like you treat your mom now? How many brothers and sisters do you have? Now, they don't have to get all into that necessarily. But you'd want to know. It has to do with the way they live. How do you get along with them? What kind of worker are you? What kind of worker are you? How many jobs have you had in your life? What did your bosses think of you? Were they sorry to see you go? Or were they glad to see you go? This is something. How old are you? You say, oh, I should know that. Well, okay, you know that. How old are you? At what age do you think you'll be ready to get married? Honestly, if you have a guy come to you and he's interested in your daughter and he says, let's just use absurd numbers. I'm 30, but I don't think I'll be ready to be married till I'm 35. Tell him come back in 3 years. Okay, you don't want and let's bring it down now. I'm 18. I'm interested in your daughter, but I don't think I'd really be ready to get married because I want to finish college, blah, 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 until I'm 22 and a half. Tell them, come back. You don't want your daughter involved in a long-term relationship that's going to grow to be serious enough to get married. And the guy says, well, I'm not going to be married when I'm not going to be ready when I'm 20. Say, wait, come back later. Okay, whatever it is, whatever the age is, that's why you ask that question. What do you believe God has called you to do vocationally? What are you going to do? What do you think God wants you to do with your life? Be a carpenter? Be an insurance salesman? Be a preacher? Be a missionary? Whatever it is. What do you think that is? 10 years from now, what do you think you'll be doing? What steps have you taken to reach that goal? Does the guy know how to set goals? What was your GPA in college? Well, but why? Why was it that? If a guy says, well, I'm not that smart, but I worked really hard, that's fine. It doesn't matter if it's you can't say, well, nobody but a 3.562 can date my daughter. No. But you want to, that surface question gives you an opportunity to go further with that and find out something about the guy. How do you budget your money? Do you know what the word budget means? How do you budget your money? How much money did you make last year? Do you pay your bills on time? You know, money, it doesn't really matter. Girls, it doesn't really matter how much money the guy has. He could have a lot of money or a little money. It matters what he does with his money. It matters whether, a guy can have a lot of money and waste it all, and you don't want anything to do with that guy. You could have a little bit of money and work with it and live much better than the guy that has a lot of money. Do you pay your bills on time? How much debt have you accumulated? What's the nature of your debt? Is it a school bill? Is it a car loan? Is it a house loan? Is it credit cards? Is it spending money on illicit things? The next question would be related to that. Do you have a problem with pornography? Now listen, that's a pretty bold statement. That's not one that a girl should ever have to ask. But it's one that fathers, you want to know. Now, you don't have to get all into a big discussion about it, but you should might as well ask it. You are, as the father, you are claiming that you've protected your daughter and that she's going to be a chaste virgin on the day of her marriage, you want to give her to a man who's pure. Do you have a problem with pornography? If so, please describe the nature and extent of the problem. Now, I'm going to be frank here. Men, we all know, and I think ladies know too, pornography is alluring, isn't it? It's alluring. That's okay. So a young man might say, one time 3 years ago, I saw some and it was wow, and I liked it. But I went to the pastor or whatever, and I haven't had a problem since. That's not a problem. Just being married will take care of that problem. But a young man who has to spend money week after week, buys magazines, does whatever, has a problem. And marriage is not going to help that problem. So that's a question that needs to be known. Along that line, is there anything in the... And here again, in these days, if the guy grew up here and he's 18 years old or 19, he might not have anything here. He might be able to say, nope, but it doesn't hurt to ask. And as he's older and not from here, for sure you want to ask. You don't know this guy's background. Do you have any sexual history that you need to know about? Is there a failed marriage in the past? A live-in girlfriend? We laugh about that. But it was the girlfriend 2 years before you were married or 6 months? I'm sorry, 2 years. 2 years before you were a Christian or 6 months after you were a Christian? That would make a difference, wouldn't it? Somewhat. Any sexual perversions? Have you ever been in any kind of trouble with the law? Here's a good one. If I were to drop in to visit you at your apartment this afternoon, what would I find? Pretty much a together sort of place? A clean place? Or the abomination of desolation? Now, a young man doesn't have to have the most perfectly decorated house. That's what he wants a wife for. But it should be a clean house. It should be neat. On that matter, is he clean and neat? Is he well-groomed himself? Another thing, what do you do with your spare time? What do you do with your spare time? Who are your closest friends? Who do you like hanging around with? It says, your daughter. Yeah. No, that's before that, buddy. Who do you like hanging around with? Another one. Describe my daughter to me. What do you think she's like? Obviously, you as a father know what she's like a lot more than. So what? What does he think he sees? What does he think he sees? What characteristics does she have that would strain your relationship? Trust me, as a husband, you know that any woman has at least one characteristic that will strain your relationship. Okay. So I guess what I'm saying, you want a guy that's going looking for a wife, not just falling in love with a face. He's got his head screwed on straight. What characteristics do you have that would strain your relationship with my daughter if she becomes your wife? What about her do you find most attractive? You obviously think she'd be a blessing to you. Why do you think you would be a blessing to her? How about this one? What do you think of me asking you all these questions? Really? How does he respond to guidelines that you set down? I was talking with a young man once about how his father described dating relationship, and he said, well, my dad always says, for the young man, it's like you're it's an away game. An away game means you play with the ground rules of the home court. So guys, dating is an away game. And dad sets the rules. He sets the ground rules. And you want to know how he responds to that, father. And young lady, you want to know that too. Is he submissive to authorities? And is he more than just, is he just going to get through whatever your dad says? How does he respond to other authority? We have young men here that are dating, we have young men here that are in our church and not in college, dating college girls that mock or spurn or tread lightly on the rules of the college because they're not in college. That's their teaching. Girl, you like a guy that says, well, I don't have to do that because I'm not in college, but you're in college? Now, I understand some of the rules we have in college they drive me crazy. I look forward to summertime when we don't have these rules about this amount of time and whatever. But that doesn't mean that you just, I'm not a college student, it doesn't matter. You are teaching your future wife, as that's what she ends up with, to disregard your authority. You want her to respect you and obey you. You obey the legitimate authorities that's in your life. Some questions that the girl might think herself. Is he a leader? Is he a leader? Does he care about other people? Is he just concerned about himself? Is he polite? Is he a gentleman? Is his conduct above reproach? Can you enjoy his company? So it doesn't matter, he's spiritual. You're going to live with him for the rest of your life. You better be able to, when things look the brightest, you better at least be able to enjoy his company. And that's when you're dating, things are the brightest. Everybody puts their best foot forward on a date. The back foot comes after you say, I do. Can you enjoy his company? Can he lead you spiritually and help you become more Christ-like? Can he lead you spiritually? We kind of talked about that, but as a young lady, you have the final say. If you say, this guy hasn't taught me a thing through the whole whatever amount of time we've been together, he hasn't helped me grow in my spiritual life, he's not going to start once you become married. Is he masculine? I'm not saying is he a macho man. I'm not saying is he a jerk. But is he masculine? He doesn't have to be the strong, quiet type or this type or that type. Every man's personality is different, but every personality can be masculine. Is he a man? What are his priorities? What are his priorities? Does he want you and nothing else? Does he control his attitude, his emotions, and even the situations he finds himself in? All right, so that's my 30 questions with multiple. Some had multiple questions in them. Some of you just gave up writing down things. Said, you're saying, I noticed that's typed, so I'm going to ask him for that later. Pastor Whitaker said, that's what he said. All right. Now, young men, these are questions that a young man will want to find out the answers to. Now, given the nature of Christian dating, he may not necessarily ever get to ask these questions. Some of them, you'll never get the opportunity because sooner than you expected, her father will say, no, I don't think so. Go look for somebody else. And I'm saying it that way, fathers, it's your job to take all the pressure of dating off of your daughter. She doesn't need to say, no, I don't want to date you. If some guy is interested and comes to your daughter, she should know. All she has to say is, well, you just have to ask my dad. And then she runs to dad and says, guess who asked me? Or guess who asked me? and dad and mom and daughter talk, and we say, he's a good guy. Do you like him? Do you think this would be okay to explore? And then dad goes to the young man and says, that's fine. Or dad says, you know, I don't think so. Go look for somebody else. Not rude, but firm. Anyway, so young man, you might not ever get a chance to find out the answers to these questions. You're coming to a father because you know your intentions. You're looking for a wife. And so you're inviting questions to be asked of you. You should be surprised if a young lady's father doesn't want to know some stuff about you and doesn't ask some questions. If when you're asking these questions, if you get the mind your own business reply or feel, you shouldn't hesitate to just tell them to move along. But a young lady who's minding her own business is under no obligation whatsoever to answer any questions that a young man might want to have the answers to. She's especially under no obligation to answer the questions like these below. She doesn't have to answer these questions, but these are questions that a young man is going to want to find out. How do you do that? Well, you do it by doing more than, where do you work? Okay? Remember we said we're going to explore. We're not just going to ask surface questions. As we're getting to know this person, we talk about their life. So what was it like in your home? Etc. At the same time, these are questions that a young man would want to keep in mind. Some of them can be answered simply by living in the same community. You're in the same church with somebody, you might know the answer. And that's what I'm saying. The questions don't have to be asked, but they have to be kept in mind. Some might be known because family's involved or close friends. You might have grown up together. Some might be legitimately inferred from what is generally known. And many are very similar, but some are completely different. So here we go with another list. What is her spiritual background? Okay, and like I say, some are similar, so I'm going to go more quickly over these. What is her spiritual background? What is her church upbringing? What is her salvation testimony? Now, again, on your first date, don't ask her when she was saved. Okay? But after a while, it would be very appropriate and easier to talk about that than to give a Sunday school lesson to her. Okay? So, what is her salvation testimony? Did she ever go through a period of spiritual rebellion? Is she spiritual now? How do you know? Does she have a heart to serve God? When's the last time she read through the entire Bible or the New Testament? What was her upbringing like? Did she grow up in a spiritually healthy family? If not, what kind of baggage does she have? What problems does she have because of that? Does she have a close relationship with her dad? Does she have a close relationship with her mom? Does she look up to and respect her father? Does respect come easily to her because she has a high view of her father's integrity? Is she secure? She's not going to respect you if she doesn't respect her father, unless you're a lot different than her father. She might have had a terrible father that she doesn't respect. I'm just saying that respect is at the root of a woman's responsibility in the home. We're 10 years from now, will she think of you in the same respectful way she thinks of her father? Trust me, guys, she's not going to respect you like she does her dad the day you get married. She's not. But if she's been trained well by her father, she'll be able to transfer her allegiance and her respect to her husband, and there'll come a time when she respects fathers. Don't get upset. There'll be a time when she respects her husband more than he respects you. But in 10 years, will she do that? 10 years from now, when she's a lot more like her mother, will you think of this as a good thing or a bad thing? What is her relationship like with her brothers and sisters? Is she a hard worker? Does she help with tasks around the house cheerfully? Or are those chores a source of conflict and quarreling? Well, they weren't a source of conflict when she was 10 years old, but now that she's 18 or now that she's 20 and she's got a life she wants to live of her own, and mom and dad say, well, this needs to be done, that needs to be done, well, how does she respond to that? Does she come and when she spends time with you, is she complaining about the work she has to do around the house? If she gets married to you, are you going to let her get out of doing work around the house? Well, she's not going to have brothers and sisters. It's just you and her. And it's her responsibility to clean the house. So she's not going to get out of it, right? Is she industrious? Is she industrious? In 10 years, will she be laying around the house or building it up? As some of you women probably do lay around the house yourself. But man, you don't want to come home to a woman who's still in her nightgown and all the dishes are still on the counter and supper's not ready and the house is a mess. Okay? So what will she be like in 10 years? I can't predict that. Well, you can explore. What is she like now? Is she industrious? Does she want to do things? Does she think of things to do? Or does she just wait till she's told? Man, in 10 years, are you going to have to leave a list of jobs that need to be done when you come home from work? We laugh. Maybe some of you men should do that so your house is clean when you come home. Not that you should ever have seen it, young man. Not that you should ever have seen it. But, what does her bedroom look like? Is it kept up? Is it decorated nicely? Or is it not? Is it a whirlwind came through? Hurricane Emma. Or Hurricane whatever her name is. Oh, not that Emma. Does she dress? And this would be similar to, does she dress with self-respect and with due respect for others? Do you know more about than you ought to about what kind of body she has? Does the whole church congregation know more about what kind of body she has than they ever requested to know? How does she dress? Now, just because she dresses in a provocative way doesn't mean she wants any man who'll come along to satisfy her desires. Many times that's because she's insecure. Her father hasn't helped her or anything like that. She just wants somebody to give some attention to her. But either way, she shouldn't be dressing that way. If it's her father's fault, She may respond to some instruction, not from you. You don't need to go tell her how to be dressing, but she might respond to some instruction and change. But on the other hand, is she cheerful and pleasant in her disposition? Is she enjoyable to spend time with? You say, well, it doesn't matter. I'm going to be working 16 hours a day. No, you're not. And truthfully, you're not going to want to be working 16 hours a day, or you don't want to have a relationship where you do want to be working 16 hours a day. Is she enjoyable to spend time with? Is she cheerful and pleasant in her disposition? Does she control her emotions? Does she control her tongue? Is she a feminine lady? Is she a feminine lady? Now, I'm not saying, is she a priss? And again, we talked about, she doesn't have to. There's a lot of different personalities, but every woman and every woman with their personality can still be a lady. They can be a feminine lady. Does she love the domestic arts? Is she the kind of person that would make any home that she managed a place where others would love to be? Whether there's a lot of money available or not a lot of money available, whether it's a big place or a little place, whether it's an apartment or a house, whether it's a ranch-style house or a ranch with 20 miles on either side of it before the next house comes along. You say, I don't know the answers to those kind of questions. Well,
talk about it. You might not know the answer, but you want to know that. You want your house to be a home, and your wife is going to do a lot to make it a home with those types of things. In decorating, in cooking, in hospitality. Is she able to decorate a little bit? Is she able to cook? Is she able to be a host? Does she do that? Is she dedicated those things out of love for God and for others? It's our responsibility as Christians to love one another, and one of the ways that a woman does that a lot more than a guy does it is by cooking and being a host and being hospitable to people that come over to your house, and in other ways, making meals for people that need it. Is she that way? And is she? Some women are that way because taste of home tells them to be that way. Some women are that way because home improvement. That'd be guys. What's that? Home, whatever. What is it? Oh, Mrs. Peyton, what is it? Home interiors tells you to be that way. Some women are that way just because all women are that way. No, that's not why you should be that way. You're that way because you love other people and you want to do for other people and you love God and you want to serve and please God by being that way towards other people. And along with that, does she have a heart to serve God? Does she care about others? Does she love kids? Does she see childbearing and child rearing as a high privilege and calling? Or does she see that kind of thing as beneath her? Has feminism gotten to her at all? Now, make sure you be able to distinguish between feminism getting to her and irritating macho men type getting to her. Some guys, especially in college, are jerks. The macho men jerk could really put a tough edge on a smart girl. She might not be a feminist. She might just be sick of the jerk men. What was or is her GPA in college? Does she set personal goals? Does she believe that women have brains and are called by God to use them? Or do women just have bodies? Women just make babies and just cook food? Or do they have brains and are called by God to use them? Given that your sons will probably be educated to the same level as their mother, are you willing for that? Are you willing for that? Whether you intend to homeschool or not, is she educated in such a way that that would be a possibility? You don't know in 10 years whether you'll be in a place where there's a Christian school. Your wife may need to teach your children. She doesn't have to be a Harvard graduate to do that. But would that be a possibility? Is she financially responsible? Does she shop responsibly? Or does she have to buy things as soon as she thinks she needs them? As soon as she realizes she quote-unquote needs them? Is she financially responsible? Does she have any problem with credit cards? Is she accustomed to live at a level that you can provide? How would she take it if marriage meant a lower standard of living? And most of the time it does, at least for a little while. What is the history of her relationship or relationships with guys? Is it non-existent or she got serial? I mean, is she the girl that every guy dated? Or just one major devastation 3 years ago? She was quite involved and engaged and then it stopped. It broke up. That's not a big problem, but you want to know what's, and it's not like you ask her. Oh, tell me all about that. Does she have any kind of troubled sexual history? And this, you know, I don't know how you'd find this out. You don't want to be a private investigator, but if you're going to marry a girl, you want to know in some way. There's a reason that wedding dress is white. Is she attractive to you? And this is the last one. Is she attractive to you? Is she attractive for the right reasons and in the right way? There's two aspects here. In the, quote, charm is deceitful department. Okay? Charm is deceitful department. Is her attractiveness driven by an inner beauty and grace? Meaning, some girls know how to draw. There's some girls that always have guys around them. Is it because they're charming or because they're a flirt? Is it external beauty and whatever, or is it inner beauty? Inner beauty and grace doesn't have all the guys hanging around all the time. In fact, inner beauty, normally a girl that has inner beauty and grace knows how to rudely, spiritually, and in a nice, rude way, tell the guys to leave her alone. But is she attractive? You want a girl that's attractive. You want a wife that's attractive to you, but attractive because of her inner beauty and grace. And yet, in the anti-Gnostic department, meaning we don't believe that spiritual is the only thing. We do believe that marriage is physical. So in the anti-Gnostic department, are you attracted to her? Do you find yourself wanting her physically more than you really ought to at this stage in the relationship? And why is that? Does she dress in a way that provokes that? Does she act in a way that provokes that? Does she walk in a certain way? Does she fling her body in certain ways? I'm not saying fling it across the room, but does she just stand around and, you know, do whatever? I'm a man, and every man in here knows exactly what I'm talking about. Certain girls know how to move their bodies in a way that just says, I'm fun to be with. And that's not what a young man is looking for. But not a godly young man. So, but at the same time, godly young men do want somebody that's fun to be with. To use the same word to describe a different thing. So there you go, 50 things, 50 points, and some of them with several points. But these things, to me, are very, very important. And again, kind of more of a practical lesson. Not many verses or exposition there. But young men and young ladies and parents of young ladies especially, and parents of young men, you want to train your sons. You say, my son's only 6. You want to train him so that when he's 18 and he's looking, he knows what to look for. And you want to train him, for that matter, to be what every good Christian parent is looking for their daughter. So, all right, that's our lesson. And it's time now to go to our prayer groups.